I earned my degree online at Arizona State University. I chose to get my degree at ASU because I knew that I'd get a quality education, they were recognized for excellence, and that I would be prepared for the workforce upon graduating. To be associated with ASU, both as a student and alum, it makes me extremely proud, and having experienced the program, I know now that I'm set up for success. Learn more at asuonline.asu.edu.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I have a huge amount of love and respect for Clarins. If you've been following me for more than a day, you will know that I have a long history with this brilliant French brand. I first used them in my 20s. I worked for them in my 30s. And now I'm telling you about their brilliant new version of the iconic Double Serum. Unbelievably, now in its 9th generation and undoubtedly regaining its cult status, it is quite frankly a sensational upgrade. Rooted firmly in the performance Clarins is known for, Double Serum now targets signs of aging linked to lifestyle. Think pollution, blue light, sun damage, and UV, with 5 new actives and a potent Provençal reed extract that tackle this head on. I love the luxe texture, the elevated peptide and squalane formula, and the pack's innovative new dosage pump. Use daily as your treatment step, the results in 4 weeks are impressive. After 5 years of research and 6 patents to reach this version, it's absolutely been worth the wait. The Clarins crown is firmly back in position. There are a few things in life that just keep on giving for $3.99 a month. A floppy fuel station sarnie, one small cup of bougie overpriced coffee? I don't think so. Or, for the same price, you could be getting a month's worth of skincare insights and know-how from yours truly. A wealth of fresh, expertly written articles on all things skincare and beauty. From our free-to-download version for essential educational content to our elevated premium experience, the SkinRocks app will revolutionise how you shop and learn about skincare. Whether you're a novice building your first routine, an aficionado wanting deep scientific expertise, or someone looking for the inside scoop on beauty newness, it's all in one pocket-friendly place on the SkinRocks app. With simple-to-use functions that let you filter for your personal profile, save your favourite content, and explore a vast product library with ease, it's no wonder it's called the Google of skincare. Unlock a world of incredible premium content for just $3.99 a month, $34.99 a year, or get a special discount via the podcast with code CHPOD to get £10 off your annual subscription. Welcome to Glad We Had This Chat with me, Caroline Hirons. It's your one-stop shop for all things skincare, beauty, and beyond. My guest this week is a fellow brand founder who also started on the shop floor. A brilliant makeup artist by trade, she is the visionary behind the multi-million pound cosmetics line Vive. Last year, she earned a spot on the prestigious Forbes 30 Under 30 list, a testament to her remarkable success in the beauty industry. Please join me in welcoming Scotland's finest, Jamie Genevieve. I mean, it's quite busy.
Oh.
Wow, that was very official.
No, very good. Take one makes me nervous. What if it's 45 takes?
Oh, she's fucked it now. I've got to do it again. Yeah. Right, mate, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for coming.
Oh, my God, it's a pleasure to be here with you.
It's a bit more bougie this season.
I love it.
It's a bit more comfy and cosy.
I do.
A bit more comfy chair, higher table, brews. Well, that you can't really class that as a brew, though.
Listen, actually, if you've not tried it, I think you should. Well, no, maybe not. Nah. You know exactly what you like.
That's not just no, viewer. That's not tea.
It's basically a tea bag that's left in. I don't know how long, because I actually do not make tea at home at all. Tea bag and then a tiny bit of sugar, and that's it. It's like a herbal tea take on builder's tea.
Okay, except I can't, let's just not even. How are you?
I'm good.
What are you doing in town besides seeing me?
We've got a mixture of things. This always happens when I'm in London, and basically because I'm so stubborn and I refuse to leave Glasgow because that's where my family is, it's where my home is, yeah. It's where I go home from the busyness of London. Of course. I really like the kind of mixture. So whenever I'm down, we like pack it back to back. So I did a masterclass last night. I'm chilling with you this morning. We've got like a panel. I'm in the office for a bit, which I do love. I love getting to come down and then go in the office just to be with the team. Because I kind of, it's kind of like I worked remotely a lot of the time.
Yeah. Surely that's the dream though, right?
It's great. I really love it. I think as well, just because Romy is still young, I finish up my meetings and I get to go downstairs and see her straight away. Because she's not quite a nursery yet, she's just starting. So it's quite nice just to feel the kind of buzzy family home when I get out of my like office from upstairs, up in the attic.
And how's Vive? Well, actually, before that, what you're doing now... Mm-hmm. Would you have thought you'd be doing what you're doing now, like 5 years ago and 10 years ago?
Absolutely not. Absolutely
it's like,
not.
Absolutely not.
No, no. And I think it's so exciting the way that it's kind of developed, because along the way, I think my ambition, I do have ambition, but if you were to ask me 10 years ago what would I think I would be doing, it wouldn't be this. And I think it is maybe a slight born and raised in Scotland self-belief. Mm-hmm. issue. I think a lot of people up there do have that. I think that you don't want to set your sights too high in case you don't get there. I think that's a bit of a protective thing maybe, but I think the thing is I've just been happy doing whatever I was doing at that time. I loved being a makeup artist on counter. I was so happy, especially, you know, I had this little Instagram following that was growing, which kept me busy on counter. So I made my targets every week. So I would get my 2% commission.
2%, nice.
Yeah, and that made all the difference to me. So I remember at that time, I was like, oh my God, I've made it. I've got my customers that come to me all the time. I make my targets all the time. The company's happy.
Happy days.
So I was happy. And then when everything just started growing itself and all these opportunities started coming in, it really was the support from other people and almost kind of kicking the arse, like go and try these things.
And how did you go and try? How did you step off the shop floor?
I went freelance. So I remember when I was on the shop floor, I remember working, doing makeup appointments. And because people wanted their makeup done by me, I would spend an hour with customers doing their makeup from start to finish. And the way that people would pay for that was they would have a minimum spend on product. Mm-hmm. So I would spend an hour doing someone's makeup. I'd love it so much. They'd love it so much. And then at the end of the appointment, they had to spend 50 quid.
But that's Illamasqua?
Illamasqua, yeah. But that meant that I was making for the counter, I was making 50 quid an hour. And I was like, I'm not going to make my targets anymore if I'm fully booked.
Yeah.
So friends of mine had gone freelance already. A lot of my friends that I'd went to college with had gone to do like bridal or working in a salon doing appointments. And I knew that I could be busy doing that. And the difference was making £52 for the counter or me making £52 doing the makeup. And then also when you work on counter, you're obviously tied to the brand. And I love it. I love the brand so much, but there was other stuff that I love too. Mm. So when you go freelance, you almost, it's so exciting being able to use your favourites of everything. And I'm such a beauty consumer that my kit was so good. My kit was great and I loved replenishing my kit. I remember going to Debenhams and spending a fortune on MAC and getting everything just looking so, and cleaning my kit at the end of the weekend.
Hygiene.
I just loved it. Yeah, I just loved
hygiene.
It. I loved it all. So that leaving counter to go freelance was scary because of the stability and I suppose like believing in yourself to, mm-hmm. you know, I know that I can be busy doing these appointments, but when it's just up to you, you do kind of sit and go, am I sure? So that was the first kind of kick. And I only did that for a year. And all my socials and stuff continued to kind of grow. And I've definitely told this story before, but I remember finding an email in my junk from Urban Decay inviting me to Los Angeles. And I wasn't going to be able to do it because I had someone booked in on Friday for their makeup. So, you know, my first thought was, I can't go. And then it wasn't until people around me were like, you're nuts.
Crazy.
Yeah, you've lost your mind. And then actually, so weird, I got a message from that same customer saying, oh, it was me that you can't, that you had to like move so you could go and do that. And people are so sweet to me. They message saying that they're so proud and they remember me from doing their makeup back in the day. I get loads of people in real life as well that come to our pop-ups that share these stories. So it was really nice. So that, again, that was almost like a kick up the arse from my clients that were like, go and do this. Like, you've got these opportunities. So I did. And then I think the biggest one was moving from that super like busy. I was so lucky. I was so busy as a digital creator, as an influencer. But I always wanted my own brand. Always.
Did you? Always?
Always. I remember.
From when? From when you were working on Counter or from when you went freelance?
So my first Counter was Estee Lauder. And it taught me so much.
That training.
It's so good.
Estee Lauder training.
And I took it so seriously. Like anyone that I worked with or worked for, I would put everything into it because I think at the end of the day, I just wanted to make them proud.
Yeah.
Because that's maybe how I feel work like that I've got this worth. So I loved Estee Lauder, but when I moved to Illamasqua, it was much more artistry. The products were so good. I think it's almost like the consumer-friendly Kryolan, you know, Kryolan, the mm-hmm. proper pro brand. I'm sure it was the same labs and things that were making these products.
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't surprise me because Alex Box was.
I'm sure that I've heard that in a podcast or something somewhere. But the textures, the formulas were so good. They were so ahead of their time when it came to inclusivity. When I worked on that counter, I had all sorts of customers. Like it wasn't, you know, Estee Lauder. There was kind of like one type of customer that I would serve, and I loved them, and they were sweet as anything. But when I went into Illamasqua,
chalk and cheese.
It was the breadth of customer and the different types of people that I would get. What it taught me about myself is that I am a bit of a chameleon. I can really help people. You know, it's a service industry. You're there to help someone, and it can be quite an intimate thing. Beauty and makeup. Even the masterclass we did yesterday, you know, it was a brush along, so we were all going to do our makeup together.
I love that.
It was so fun. It was so nice. Brush along. It was great. But a couple of the girls came with their makeup on, and it's because they just didn't want to come in with no makeup on. Mm. But they took it off, and then they redid it, and they felt great, and they looked great. And I think that's just it's an intimate thing, and there's quite a lot of trust there, I think. So working at Illamasqua, learning how to properly communicate, but also serve these people, and the kind of softness you have to have sometimes, and you know, and then on the other end of the spectrum, I'd have people that were so like flamboyant, outgoing, that knew exactly what they wanted, and they were, you know, fluent in beauty. They knew exactly what products that they were after, and I just totally thrived. But it was during that time, I remember we'd get new collections in, and I would look at them and I'd start thinking about what I would have done differently. Mm-hmm. And
that's the cincher, isn't it?
Yeah. And I remember even then, I remember thinking in the MC on a quieter Sunday, and I was always by myself. If I'd done all my work, I would literally just sit with my notepad and start writing out ideas. I would always use that as like my admin day. It's terrible. But I would.
We all did that on Counter, don't worry.
I would sort out my personal finances. I was very organised. My verbal moon was screaming, but I would sort out all my personal finances, and then I would start really like mind mapping what ideas could look like. But it's so weird. As soon as I felt that dream starting to kind of fly a little bit, I'd almost be like, get a grip, you're not going to be able to do that.
So how do you go from get a grip, I'm not gonna be able to do that, to where you are now with Vive?
I think being okay with feeling uncomfortable.
Yeah,
and pushing
one.
Through that.
That's a really good one.
It's
what Oprah would call a aha moment for me. Because that's what it is. You some people are not comfortable with being uncomfortable. I'm great with being uncomfortable. It doesn't bother me. If we're doing something and it's a bit risky, people are like, and I'm like, don't, just because you wouldn't do it, don't put that on me.
I think that when you learn that, that's where real growth happens.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a space. Yeah, it's a bit of a superpower. And there's even something as well. I've said this for ages, and then I saw something else that kind of reframed it in my mind. But the feeling of nervousness and the feeling of excitement, or like anxiety and excitement, are so similar.
Yeah.
So see, instead of thinking about the worst that can happen, so that's anxiety, right? You think, oh, God, it's going to go like this, and then it's going to get worse, and then this is going to happen. Think what's the best thing that could happen, and almost just really try and believe that that's what it's going to be.
It's really interesting you say that, because I do have, as the old granny of the industry, one of us, I do have real concerns that the younger generation have no resilience, because they're told that everything is anxiety and mental health driven, rather than nervousness is good. Nervousness can feed things.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not. Also, when it's used with loose lips and clumsily on social media, that's another thing.
Yeah.
You're not having an anxiety attack. You're nervous.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I think unless you have a proper anxiety attack,
then you would never be so anxious. Mm. Are you though, or are you just excited or nervous?
Yeah.
You know?
And it's been able to push through that uncomfortable feeling that gets you to the places that you really want to be. So I think it was a combination of things. I think that I've talked before that my community are so nice to me. They're so supportive.
But you give what you get. And you are, without question, one of the very few people in the industry that I have never heard anyone say a bad word about. Ever. And you know what? I don't blow smoke. Never. It's always, as soon as you say Jamie, people go, oh. You know, they're like friends when they go, oh. But it's more of a, oh. But that's what you give out.
That's so nice.
Get
see when someone compliments your character, I always am like that.
Thanks so much. I'm so uncomfortable.
But see, the support, I think really what I feel is people really lift me up and they really want me to go for it. And I don't think that that's always the case.
No, it's not.
I think when people start to, you've heard it a million times, when people start to do a bit too well, people are like, ah, nah, you're getting a bit big for your boots. But even still, like the brand and me, I get messages every day from people saying how much they love our products. I think it's quite rare as well when we win awards and stuff, our customers reach out to congratulate us.
Yeah.
There's so many like older legacy brands or even brands that just don't have the, you know, the heart that I don't know if their customers would do the same thing.
No.
So it's a really special thing. But I think that working on my own confidence, maybe, I think that I do give out a kind of confident energy, but I think that deep down there's always little niggles, and I think it is just believing that I deserve to be in the places that I am, if that makes sense.
100%. And to have that at your age means you'll go like you speed ahead, you know.
That's not to say I don't need to work on it quite a lot. I have to have pep talks myself often.
Well, I still have pep talks myself. Yeah. Not as many as I used to be fair. I mean, I'm 55. If I haven't got a grip of it by now.
I think you're fine.
Thanks. Where, because you did collabs first, didn't you? And then where did you go from like shop floor, freelance, collabs with the old brand,
yeah,
and then Vive?
So the first, I think the biggest one that I ever did was MAC. And I remember I was sitting on the couch doing a Sainsbury's shop, and I got a phone call. It was in me and Jack's old house at this old farm that we loved. And looking back, I'm like, oh my God, it's so cute. But my business partner phoned me, business partner now, manager at the time, phoned me and just told me that Mac wanted to collaborate on a lipstick. And the first thing that went through my mind was I tried so many times to get a job there and got knocked back.
Yeah.
I don't know how hard I tried. I don't think I ever actually applied properly, maybe. But
it was in your head.
It was in my head. And I remember I just wanted to work there, and then it just never happened. But the conversations, it took a long time. We got to Toronto, we went to the lab, and when this collaboration thing happened, there's quite a lot of people that did it. And what you would do is you would send mid boards, and you know, you basically write a brief on what the shade you wanted it to be and what finish and things. And we all got to the lab, and there was three shades that they'd like made for us. So, you know, out from our brief, they'd created these three shades.
Who were the other people?
There was Patricia Bright from the UK, Naima Tang from the US. Mm-hmm. Who else? It's terrible, I can't remember.
But did they make the colour you wanted?
So I got there, there was a couple of people that got there, and they looked at their three shades and they were like, yeah, that one's great. And I got there and I saw my three shades and I was like, oh, it's all wrong. Oh, this is all wrong. So
I'm going to be that person.
Yeah, I know. And actually that, again, I had to push. I felt uncomfortable because I was like, I'm going to make life hell for these people, but I can't be doing this. And I think you'll totally know what I mean by this. People know us so well. They know what standards we uphold. They know what we like. You can't just go ahead with things that don't completely align. Otherwise, no. You get that. I feel it in my body. I get that sickness in my stomach. When I go to, like, you know, it just wouldn't work. So I started working with one of the technicians, and the shade that I made was a super pale nude, like very fleshy pale nude. Because that's exactly what I loved back then. I still kind of love it now, to be honest. So we just started adding, like, honestly, a ton of white pigment, which dries it out slightly, and then you have to kind of balance it back out with the formula. And I kept on asking, you know, a little bit more white, a little bit yellow, and we got it perfect. And that shade, I think it was like one of their most successful collabs that they did, which was such a buzz to me. But I remember at the time the technician said, you've got such a lab brain, like you're a real formulator. And I really do think that there's something about me. See, if someone pays me a compliment that sits with me so well, I'm like, that, great, that's my life now. So
I remember, thanks for that. Honestly, life plan.
It's almost just like that little push from someone else, that little bit of comfort. And I don't know what that says about me, but I do. Maybe at the time I couldn't find that myself, but when someone would give it to me, I'd be like, oh my God, right, okay.
I'm on the right track.
Kind of, yeah. And even when I was at college, I remember I was doing art, ended up doing the makeup for people's projects and stuff, and just someone behind me went, oh my God, you're so good at that. And I turned around and I was like, I'm going to be a makeup artist. This is it. But it was almost just like the stars aligned, and I was like, I know exactly what I wanted to do.
How old were you when you had that at college?
I think I was 17.
Wow.
17 or 18. I'd left school early to work full time because I loved money. I loved working. I loved making my own money. I loved choosing what I wanted to buy. I worked my last little spell at school. I worked in Lush and I was doing like, I think, illegal hours for a 17-year-old.
Probably, yeah.
Because I left school, I loved it so much. And I said to my mum and dad, I was like, I want to leave school and I want to work. My mum and dad are the most brilliant people. They have supported everything that I've ever chose to do. And I remember there was someone that asked my mum and dad, are you not horribly disappointed that she's not going to university? And my mum and dad were like, no. They were like, they've kind of fiercely supported me.
Yeah.
Which again, I think my personality, which we've like talked about a bit, that kind of support, that kind of like lifting up, makes such a difference to me. And I think it would make a lot of difference to a lot of,
it makes a lot of difference.
Of teenage girls.
Me always knowing that if everything went tits up, I could go back to mum.
Yeah.
Even at the age of 40 or whatever.
Yeah.
Was just in the back of my head, although it seems ridiculous when you're married with kids, oh, if it all goes tits up, I'll move in with mum.
Honestly, though.
But having that.
Yeah, it's like the firmest foundations that you can ever have, and it's something that I'm really excited to bring into my parenting as well. Just to know that Roma's always got the support in the way that I had it.
You're just like, it's my job.
Oh, totally. I feel like a big cocoon around her until she breaks free and then runs off away from me, which is inevitable.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Strap yourselves in, people. I'm going on tour for the first time ever, and I'm so here for it, bringing our wild and wonderful Glad We Had This Chat podcast to a venue near you. Promising you an unforgettable night of unbridled honesty, unfiltered opinions, F-bombs and fearlessness, come join me and a stellar lineup of special guests as we talk all things skincare and beauty, along with frank discussions about life's adventures, challenges, highlights and joys, with exclusive on-stage skincare demos, entertaining Q&As and a healthy dose of unscripted hilarity. This is Caroline Hirons, me, live and apparently on steroids. It's happening. Get your tickets now at carolinehirons.com and secure your spot.
So you have a massive sellout success with MAC.
Yeah.
Vive. Was that next? Literally, did that go, okay, we could do this ourselves?
I actually think that might have been a bit of a catalyst for it, because 2017 was the MAC lipstick and Vive launched 2020, and all the time between that was working on it. I remember sitting, I think it was a bit of a light bulb moment. I was like, right, if I really want this, I can do it. Like, I can make it work. And I started putting as much money as I could away because I really thought I could fund it all myself. And that was my plan. And then as soon as we started working out the costs and the kind of like the order numbers we'd have to do to even sustain a launch, because it's so weird, right? You launch as a brand that people are already interested in. Like, yeah. You know, you've got
you've got an audience.
You've got this first shot, and I've said before, but the first time someone bought from Vive, I wasn't nervous about it. It was the third time. I was like, we want these people to come back. We want them to love this. You know, we want them to be obsessed with this brand. Realised that I definitely couldn't fund it myself. And then that's when we went for investment. Which was such an interesting process because it was during lockdown. So I remember sitting, you know, I'd got all dressed up. I got all dressed up to sit on a Zoom meeting, and our investors are the most, you know, just chilled out. Not all of them, obviously, not to generalise, but, you know, our lead investor from Venrex is so chilled out. He's the most amazing guy. And I literally was sitting, I just remember my hands were sweating so much because I was like, I can't do this. I was like, I've never done this before. I've worked on counter. I went freelance. I've never been a manager. I have never managed people. I have, you know, there's just so much that I was wildly aware of. And that little part of my brain was like, you can't do this because you've not done this, this, this. You didn't go to uni. You don't know anything about anything when it comes to this stuff. But you can literally learn anything. You can learn anything and then see the things that you don't think are actually the best things for you to learn. You get other people that are brilliant at them.
Yeah, you hire other people to do it.
You hire people that are better than you at all of these things. And that's exactly, I think the Vive team is like testament to that because everyone is shit taught. They are so good. And they all care about it, almost in the way that I care about it. And that's like, what more can you ask for for your team? But definitely that MAC lipstick and that sellout, it gave me the confidence, like I made something really good and people really loved it. And I know my audience because I even was met with resistance when it came to the shade a little bit. They were like, it's not very commercial.
It really annoys me when they do that. Like, why don't they trust that you know your audience?
But I think what an amazing test for you to push through that again and be like, no, I'm really sure. I'm really sure. And it worked so well that, you know, I think as well, because I'd been thinking about it for so long, you know, at this point, I'd been thinking about it for like 9 years or something. I kind of knew exactly what I wanted to start with. And I think the key was starting. I could have pondered it for so long and gone back and forth and figured out the holes and the problems. But I think just launching with something that I thought was so great.
Taking the first step.
Yeah.
What did you take from what you learned on the shop floor into business? Because you said you'd never been a manager, but the skill set you learn when you're in the service industry, I think is kind of unique. I mean, you kind of have to, you said chameleon, you have to know, you have to pick up on everyone's signs. So it is, in a way, it does teach you leadership because it also teaches you about the human race or the GP, as we all call them in the general public.
You can so see in the team who's worked on a shop floor and who hasn't. And I'm sure I read something as well that everyone in your team should work in customer service for a day. I don't know about that. I actually don't. I'm not sure about that.
Well, Lauder, everyone in head office has to work on the shop floor in London during December.
That's honestly,
they all get sent to the shop floor.
It's genius. And I think we've done that in a small way because whenever we do our pop-ups, they're so mental that a lot of the team come up and pitch in and, you know, all levels, all different sectors and things. And they chuck themselves in, and the buzz that everyone gets is different to anything that you'll get in head office. I think that from counter, it's everything. Everything that I learned on counter I brought to this. And I think it's the way that we talk to our customers. And
that's what, for you, I think that's what translated into YouTube.
Which YouTube is such an amazing place because it changed my job from working one-on-one with a customer to one-on-hundreds of thousands of people. But I talk to them all in the exact same way I would talk to a customer in front of me. And I think building a platform in an authentic way, it holds you accountable because people know what you're like. I think that if it's built on false pretenses, you will not be able to keep that up. I can't imagine how exhausting it would be to put on a persona.
I can't see you with a persona anyway. What would you be if you had to put on a persona? What would you be?
Posher.
Wealthier.
Posher.
Wealthier.
Sitting up straighter.
Lashings.
Better dressed.
Lashings.
Always clean hair.
I think, yeah, I get that. That to me is posher, but I know a lot of posh people with dirty hair. So
okay. But for me, it was always just me and my camera. It was just like me talking to a pal. So I think it's like the questions you ask, even it's not making a product and then chucking it out on the market and saying everyone needs to buy this. It's asking our customers, well, what is it that you actually want? And we are at a stage where we're able to really still communicate with
our
customer.
You've got a built-in research team.
Oh my God.
You just have to ask one question on social and you get answered.
You're the exact same though. Like, and people tell us all the time that you just cannot buy that.
But they also have no problem telling us what they want and what they don't want.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Yeah, no, it's so valuable. It's so valuable.
Did people, when you were going for investment, because investors, if we are casting a sweeping generalisation, are generally middle-aged white men.
Yeah.
When you're sitting in those boardrooms and pitching to people, did they get what you brought to the table? Did they understand the power of, because it's not just following, it's reach. Following is one thing, but that's it's interesting because Instagram have just changed, haven't they, how they're going to measure. So it's more like likes and reach rather than how many followers you've got.
Yeah,
it's how engaged they are.
And I think that's brilliant.
Did they understand what you brought to the table?
Yes, they did. I think as well, the investment process for me was, I think, super smooth in the sense that the way that I talked about the brand and what it was I wanted to create, it seemed to really resonate with them. Mm. And there was parts that they maybe challenged on or questioned, you know, why another makeup brand? But the way that I described, you know, working on counter, you know, in-house for these brands, but then working as an influencer and working with all of these brands, all of my favourite brands that I still love and I still think are brilliant. But I remember thinking, there are some brands that have such a great soul. You know, their purpose is really solid, but the products aren't very good. You know,
who would you put in that category?
I'm not saying it. I can't. I knew you were going to make me do that.
Well, you boy up.
No, I know. There's some. Oh God, no, I can't. Because I'll screenshot it and then send it to them.
Okay, so without naming names or naming names of who do you think was doing it well that you thought I would like to emulate that with my own brand?
Oh, that's
like
okay. That's nice. Okay, so
we can be positive.
Okay, that's nice. I like that spin.
Do you like that?
Yes, yeah. I do.
See what I did there.
So for me, you get brands that have a great soul and a great purpose. So I would maybe put like Rare Beauty. I think that Selena's done a really great job. And actually, she's one of the brands that doesn't come under one of these three buckets. I think that they've actually kind of got it all
as well. They're going to kill it. I think she's going to, when they sell, because they're for sale, I think she might be the first 3 billion.
Wow.
They're going to kill it.
No, I wouldn't be surprised.
They're making silly money.
But what an amazing thing when you get this trifecta, right? So the thing is, it's a great soul, it's a great purpose, and it's basically wanting to make your customers feel great. I think at the end of the day, that's what the beauty industry is for.
And she skews younger, which is even better because they're so big on the mental health aspect.
It's absolutely amazing what they've done. So I think that's a bit of a shining example. Mm. Then you get brands that maybe don't have as much of a soul. They're more pro artistry, but the products are really, really good.
Yeah.
But when it comes to actually trying to connect with that
makeup
brand,
forever.
Honestly,
there's no face.
They're so focused on the product that their customers are all here, and they're like, yeah.
Yeah, oh, in a minute, look, we're just gonna make in this lipstick.
It's that, but which I get, because as an artist, you could go down that hole. Because when I'm, you know, working on product, I don't really want to talk to anyone. I'm like in this hole that I'm really enjoying, and sometimes it takes a wee while for me to pull myself out of it. And then you've got brands that are a bit faceless. You can't really relate to anyone within the brand. You're like, oh, I don't really know if this is for me because I can't really see myself represented. But also, they don't really have a tone of voice because there's no one leading this brand. So that's when I start talking about founders. And then sometimes you get brands that have founders that are just not relatable at all. You know, they're a wee bit of a character within the brand.
Would you like me to help you on this part?
No, you don't.
Because I can do it from skincare.
Okay.
So J-Lo.
Oh, bless
Brad her. Brad Pitt. Jared Leto. Like, pick one. Celebs who think, oh, I could make money. Mm. Then the difference is Selena. Selena, we do have to hold her up as something that's been done brilliantly.
Yeah.
Because she's a celeb. And Rihanna, but like,
she puts,
totally.
She puts in the groundwork as well. She puts in the
You
graft.
Know that Rihanna goes, that colour is disgusting. I would never give that to my people.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's actually what you need, whereas I don't think J-Lo's been near olive oil.
You said it, not me. Me with my palms sweating. I think that this kind of trifecta that makes a brand great, and it's not to say that it's not been done before, but I think that there was a bit of a gap in the market when it came to, as well, what people want to look like. I think that you're either told that you want to be a clean girl and you want to wear 3 products and no more because we're on the go and we're busy and we've got them in our handbag and it's really cute, or you're a makeup wearer and you've got a makeup bag full of stuff and it's a full face every day and it's full coverage. I think that we sit right in the middle of that.
But most people do. That's where I sit.
But our products lean either way. Yeah. So see, and that makes me really excited. Someone messaged me the other day saying, thank you so much for showing me how to pair all the different parts of me together and feel really good about it. Because you can kind of choose who you want to be that day. And I think products that are flexible as well, we talk about that all the time with our products, but they can be sheared out so much for that clean girl look, or they can be built right up for the kind of more fuller makeup wearer. But it's also been unapologetic about where you sit on that carousel. Yeah.
This is who we are. This is what we do.
Yeah. And I think as well, so I think that that's really what I envisaged when it came to VEEV, and it made me really excited because also we're friendly. You don't walk in, and it's not
intimidating.
It's not intimidating, but we actually are maybe quite cool. But cool people don't say they're cool, so we never say that. We never say that we're cool. But it's a cool brand, and we're unapologetic about wanting to be ourselves and feeling good about that. But deep down, we're actually probably not very cool because we like rotting in bed all day on a Sunday, and we like, you know, our makeup brushes aren't always spotless, and that's all right. You know, there's definitely an aesthetic and a lifestyle to VEEV that I think is quite aspirational. But deep down, we're all the same folk. You know, and we all like different things, and I think it's that breadth of customer as well that we serve, because in the pop-up we've had three generations, so like quite often now we have a granny, a mum and a daughter,
yeah,
and they all love VEEV and they all love different products, but they all feel really welcome and they all feel really excited about it, and that makes my heart sing. That makes me so happy.
What did your mum and dad say when you were on Forbes 30 under 30?
They were just great. I remember it.
Did they send it to the person who said, "Are you so disappointed she didn't go to uni?"
No, of course not. I think as well, I think that's what I've learned is kind of not celebrating in silence, but letting the work kind of talk for you. So you're just like that.
Yeah, we did.
It's not that bad, is it?
Yeah, we did.
The first day under 30, it reminds me almost of hitting a million on Instagram back in the day. I thought that there would be gold lights and fireworks going off, but I remember I just got this link and I was like, oh my god, I'm on it. Yeah. But for me, that was such a huge moment because again, it was the same thing. It was a dream that I had that I never said out loud because I was like, don't be so stupid, you're not going to get that. But I did, and right in the nick of time, because I turned 30 like 2 months later.
I mean, but well done, because there isn't any Forbes 55 under 55, so I'm never going to have anything like that. That ship sailed.
It's such a funny thing. I think maybe as well, because I'm quite stubborn.
Of course.
I feel like we all are, honestly.
Of course,
but
we are.
I think there's a part of me, I remember filling out that Forbes thing and it came to education and I was looking for my college degree and it wasn't on it because it doesn't class, you know, it doesn't rank. And in that moment I was like, oh, I'm definitely not going to get it then. And then when I did, you know, it just makes me feel really proud. I've spoke at a college before and I think that there used to be this pressure on kids going to uni. But my God, see, if you actually just fueled what it is that you really love doing, the world would be full of people that are happy and able to create something amazing for themselves.
And not in double-digit thousands of pounds and dollars in debt.
Yeah, I'm not saying don't do it if you want to do it. You know, me and Jack have talked about this with Romy. If she turns around to me and says, I really want to go to uni to be a lawyer, I'd be like, that, oh my God.
Great. Amazing, great for you.
How cool are you? Reese Witherspoon, Legally Blonde.
Like it's hard?
Yeah. Yes. And I love that. Oh my God, that really resonated with me when she said that.
What, like it's hard?
Yeah.
Here we are, folks. The most insanely efficacious, sensorial, luxurious cleansing balm in the world has landed. I don't need to tell you what it takes to put my name to a cleansing balm, and this one had one mother of a brief. The Skin Rocks Cleansing Balm is the best balm ever created, and one I would choose every single time over anything I've ever used. 5 roller coaster years of fearless ambition, sky-high expectation, tears, triumphs, and F-bombs. No pressure then, but what a result. Undoubtedly my most anticipated product, this was by far the hardest to make. The texture and crunch that took 4 years to perfect, its ability to decimate literally everything on your face, the R in a jar scent, the paperweight heavy hot pink glass, I mean literally everything I adore in a cleanser has been distilled into one glorious jar and it is absolutely spectacular. Transforming from a solid balm to a rich replenishing oil, this barrier nourishing balm is formulated with the same innovative lipid advanced complex as the support oil to deliver supreme skin barrier support and help improve skin firmness, elasticity and hydration. There is simply nothing like it. It's £55, it's ready and waiting, and there is no dupe.
Okay, if we don't go down beauty and skincare,
I know,
I'll be in a lot of trouble. Earliest beauty memories?
I've got a really nice one. It took me just to actually like for this to like surface. But sitting in the back of our car, watching my mum do her lip liner in the car mirror, wow. And she's still like this. Like, see, even if I do her makeup, she is in the mirror like this, and she's fixing it, and she's doing.
Yeah, that was my mum.
She's so like it's wow. so precise. And actually, I love the way that my mum's beauty has kind of changed through the years, because my mum's super holistic. Anyone that knows me, she really looks after herself in the way that she is so unapologetic about doing it, the way that makes her feel good. But watching her do her lip liner, I was proper transfixed. And also,
how old are you at that point?
I must have been like 4. Must be. I've got a lot of like memories that are like quite early on, but I remember as well the feeling, and I think that kids, especially girls, will always have this with their mum. But when your mum feels and looks great, or like you can mm-hmm. see, you feel great. If when mum's okay, you're okay.
The best of like with mine, it was my mum. The last whiff of perfume as she went left the house.
Yeah.
If they were going out, or if she was going to work in the morning, it was winter's morning, and I was going to school, and she left the house with like a waft of generally number 5.
Yeah.
And I'd go, oh, mum's going to work. I'll go to school. Everything's fine with the world.
Yeah. Literally. So I remember. The way that even she held herself, it wasn't obvious at all, but the way that she got in the car and then the way that she got out of the car was completely different. And it was because of this. And she had this little bag, I think it was corduroy, and it had like literally 5 products. She had the same bag for years as mm-hmm. well, because it wasn't something that we could be splurging on. Yeah, that's what she had, and it was great. And then, I remember her wee eyebrow pencil. I remember the colour of the lipstick.
What brand did she use?
What brand? Do you know what? I can't remember. I'm sure I saw a lot of number 7. Mm. There was number 7 for sure.
It was about the whole process, not the actual product.
Yeah, but she was so good at making it work. And I think that that's something that my mum's taught me. She's anything that she's had, she's made it work, like in life. Mm-hmm. And she definitely taught me that I can do whatever I want after getting my kick up the arse from everyone else. But she, but the way that she would do her face, and it was just perfect. And the way that she would hold herself after she'd done that. You know, you see it on counter all the time, and you see it all the time. You see it in yourself in the mirror in the morning.
It's a different.
I mean, ready. I wish mine was more like that. I sit like a prawn.
I'm red. Oh, I need remember to keep sitting up, because with the first season, I get so into talking to people, and I had a go at all this. I was like, why are you letting me sit like I have no spine? now I have to keep going. Like, no, sit up straight. Don't.
Oh, I'm terrible for that. But no, she does. And then you know, my mum, she's so gorgeous, and so tall. And I remember just being so proud that she was my mum. And she, oh my God, I still feel that all the time. I spend a lot of time with my parents. Oh my God, yeah. No, I just, obsessed with them both.
Well, moving on before I lose it.
Yeah.
What was the first beauty or skincare product that you bought with your own money? Or both, actually, makeup and skin.
I remember going into Boots when they had 3 for 2 at Christmas. And you know the Natural Collections body stuff? Mm-hmm. I had so much of that on a shelf so long it would go off in my house. So that's really
what... So you kept it as a...
I kept it good, which I don't do now.
Gosh.
I don't do that at all now. And anyone that tells me that they bought like one of our candles and not burned it yet, I'm like, burn it.
I always go, and I don't like to be graphic, but I always go, you could be hit by a bus on your way home.
And then you've
that
not burned
candle's going to be going to someone else. You haven't even smelled it.
I use the... I wear the shoes. I wear the clothes. I've used
don't
the
save
stuff.
Anything for best.
But I used it. So that's where I first felt pride in my collection. And it was like the body butters that had swirly shit in it. It was so funny. And then I definitely had Simple. I used to have my little Simple skincare routine. So the Simple stuff. But I had the first real memory I've got of proper buying beauty for myself was when I worked full time in All Saints when I was 17, and I got my first big girl paycheck, and I walked down to Fraser's and I went to Chanel, and I got
went to Chanel.
No, I knew I liked nice things for a long time, and it's not
first
even
first paycheck too. You bougie cow.
Yeah, I know. I'm going
straight to Chanel,
and I got
good
I got
for you
a little eyeshadow quad that was like cool tones, you know, the wee bulbous eyeshadows.
Brilliant.
Loved it. And then I got my Chanel foundation. I don't know who I am. I spent all my money on makeup. And then I remember they gave me a little sample of their moisturiser. It was like a blue tinted
Hydra.
Oh my God. But I remember I went and put it on, put my foundation on, and I was like, I am amazing. I am unbelievable. I'm better than Ibn. I would never say that. But I was so buzzing with myself. And then that became a routine. Every time I got paid, I would go, and I was always been quite smart with money. I would give myself a good amount that I felt like I was spoiling myself, but I was still saving up the rest because I lived at home.
Nice.
It was great.
Best of both worlds.
Yeah.
What did you maybe not do well? Did you have any beauty disasters along the way? Like, I've had an extremely dodgy perm.
That, have you?
Oh, yeah. There's no need for it. I really did. It was the 80s. Everyone did.
Was it kind of cool or no?
It's just literally like a curly Deirdre Barlow perm.
Oh, my God. I was, like, terrible with it.
I did.
Especially with the height as well. We're so tall that it's just like a lollipop.
I look like a walking wig. And I had a beautiful bob before that. So it went bob and then it went curly. It was horrendous. But when it grew out... Yeah. When it was really grown out, it was the best hair I ever had because it had this like long kinky wave, but it took years.
Oh, but I've seen so many pictures of you when you were young. You're so gorgeous. You've literally not changed.
That, you need to see
You're blonder.
Perm. You need to see the perm picture.
Okay.
I'm blonde because I'm grey.
Right.
It's easier. I've been going to grey since I was like 19. It's so much easier than being dark and you're grey.
Yeah, okay.
I haven't got the energy to be dyeing my roots all the time.
No.
It's easier to hide when you're blonde.
Yeah, that's something that I've noticed. I've really let myself go with the hair and the nails and all that. I think it's just since having the baby. I don't want to blame her. Definitely not to blame. I mean,
it's all her fault.
It's all her fault. No, I just like spending time with her too much. I don't want to go and sit in a hairdresser.
Can't be bothered. Yeah, it's wasting time.
I definitely remember sitting in the bath and picking up my mum's razor and just going right in between my eyebrows and taking off probably about half a centimetre off the front. I've had a lot of eyebrow things. I used to shave off my eyebrows from the arch so I could draw them in higher, which actually was a look.
You're lucky they came back.
I know. They came back. But Cara, who does my eyebrows, my best pal, she said they grow like grass. So I'm grateful for that. What else?
Mine don't. If I had plucked the way that other people plucked in the 90s, I would have nothing there.
I think I've got loads. I think I've got loads, but they all just make me...
The shaving of the brow.
The shaving of the brow right down the middle.
And when you see... it's always footballers. Like, if we're watching football, there's always footballers, and I go, Jesus, who's done his brows?
I know, like a proper wax.
The wax, like Beckham has his brows waxed. Ronaldo has better brows than any woman.
Yeah.
I'm like, I mean, that's some serious
I've actually
work.
Noticed his brows. I'm not big on football at all, but I have noticed Ronaldo's brows.
I'm like, oh, that's some waxing. I mean, I'm the one who sits there and watches Match of the Day as it used to be and go, oh, Gary Lineker's Botox bruised. And Jim's like, what? And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Stop.
Of course.
That's so funny, though, that you would even notice these things. Mm, what you notice. I would now, maybe.
You would notice if they hadn't blended. I noticed Botox bruising.
Yeah, true, okay. true.
Okay, if your bathroom was on fire,
what's
the one product you would save?
Do you know what's so funny? You're going to get mad at me, the same answer every time.
No.
It's Skinova, just because I can put it everywhere, all over my body. But then let's say that I'd have an abundance of that because I made it and it's not that.
And not yours.
Oh, no, do you know what? And I don't know how you're going to feel about this, but the Dr. Dennis Gross LED mask.
Oh, yeah.
I've been using it every day. I just love that it's 3 minutes. I put it on and it's 3 minutes and then it's done.
Yeah.
And then I'll chuck on just the most hydrating skincare of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that my skin loves it.
Well, why would I be angry with that?
I don't know. I'm always nervous in case you're like that. Oh, that's, I hate that.
I love LED and I love Dr. Dennis Gross. I have his bobbly head behind me in the office.
I'm going to stop. Why did they make that?
I don't know, you can get them made. Because there's one of Bobby Brown doing the rounds too.
Someone sent me a picture of, you can get paper masks for Halloween. Someone sent me a picture because they looked up my name on Amazon trying to find the tanning spray that I made. And there's cardboard cutouts of my face from years ago.
I have a candle. They made, you know those candles of famous people praying?
Is it you?
No, they've got one of me. Someone sent me, I've never seen anything so funny in my life.
You are, it's because you are a queen.
It's hysterical. Literally, I showed my mother and she was just like, that's nice, pet.
Did you not buy it?
No, they sent me one and then I bought it for the fam just to wind them up. It's hysterical.
Funny.
I'm like, look.
Maybe I should buy the cardboard face things for my family.
Me and the Virgin Mary. That's me.
That's too funny. It's quite artistic.
Utterly bizarre. But what is your current skincare routine?
My skincare routine at the moment is quite funny because this is the most berserk it's ever been. So I used to always sit and do my skincare at my makeup desk, but I moved everything upstairs. None of our bathrooms are actually finished, so I don't have anywhere to keep my skincare. So I have 3 products at my bedside table that I'll go and I swear, and at the end of the night I'll lie in my bed, I'll do my mask, and then I'll chuck them on, and then that's it. And then in the morning I do Skinova. So the products are my Dr. Dennis Gross mask, and then I've got my Skin and Me, which has got
Dosa.
How the doser, daily doser, but it's just azelaic acid and niacinamide. So it's a bit more it's a bit more gentle, which I think is all that my skin needs. And I'll put that on. I don't use that every day either.
Mm.
Put that on and then I'll use Love Dr. Jart Ceramide and Love. There's a La Roche-Posay. Is it called Cicaplast?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the big thick one?
Mm-hmm.
The bomb.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that on top of like even just Skin Nova. So see like light moisturizer and then something occlusive on top just to like lock it all in. Because I actually do think that my skin is on the drier side.
Probably just from lifestyle, travel.
Think so.
Baby.
Think so. But that's literally it.
Well, what do you wash your face with?
Oh, no, I do. Okay, I'll wash my face.
Being very concerned then. I'm like...
No, I do. So I'll have a bath or a shower every night. I'm a nighttime bather, shower. I'm very much in the mindset that I wake up clean because I just went to bed after having a bath or a shower and I'm clean.
I definitely do not. I'm a sweater.
Once
you've been through perimenopause and menopause, you will not wake up clean.
Do you know that?
You wake up going, Jesus, I'm dying.
That's the only time that I would shower in the morning was the night sweats after having Romy. I used to have to sleep on the towels because it was just pouring out of me.
It's disgusting, isn't it?
Oh my God, it's brutal. But brutal. I wash my face with with cleansers. I'm a little bit more fickle. I'll try things, but then there's things that I'll try that I'll come out in spots, like around my hairline, and I'm like, absolutely not. There's one that I tried recently, and I was like, absolutely not.
You can tell me after, as long as it wasn't mine.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't yours. I love your gel cleanser. That's definitely my favourite texture. I love something foaming to get my makeup off. I really like something or a balm. I really love Elemis cleansing balm, the collagen cleansing balm. I really like the Hello Clean from Pharmacy.
Basically
a balm that emulsifies and then it all comes off. I also love an oil. I can't even remember what ones that I'm loving at the moment, but I'm
just reassured that you're washing your face properly.
Yes, love washing my face. I really thoroughly enjoy washing my face.
Oh, what's your favourite smell of a product?
What do I love?
So I like things like Chanel makeup always has their signature smell of rose.
Yeah.
I like the Skin Rocks fragrance.
Yeah.
But then I also like the sort of high-end skincare fragrance, like I love Shiseido smells, La Mer smells.
Yeah.
Just that traditional, expensive skincare smell that you don't need.
Yeah, I love smells.
But it's...
I love smell. I really do love a scented product. I think that I love the Elemis smell because it smells like a spa. Mm. I love... Honestly, everything that you've just mentioned, I actually think that I'm not... I just like smells.
Yeah.
I just like a scent. I love the Skin Nova fragrance so much. It's the same... Have you tried our scent spray?
Yeah,
because it's the same scent, and that to me is like fresh air. I love the scent of your cleanser. I love the scent of I really do think like there's not
everything.
There's not really anything that there's some vitamin C's I hate the smell because they smell like bacon.
Well, they do stink.
Yeah.
So good vitamin C smells. Our antioxidant has a pong to it. It wears off immediately, but there is a pong.
But that's the thing, isn't it? It's just so vitamin C is not my favourite smell. That's literally it. But I like scents. I just like all scents.
And one product you had to wear for the rest of your life, is it going to be Skin Nova?
No, because I'm not going to give you a boring answer.
One product for the rest of your life.
I honestly think any kind of emollient balm that would keep me hydrated and shiny and greasy. There's no better feeling than putting a nice thick layer on and feeling like your skin looks plastic.
Yeah, I do like that.
I love it.
Your skin looks good. I'm like, thanks, it's not mine.
No, it's literally a layer. It's an occlusive layer.
Yeah, literally.
So I think something like that, like something like the ones that I mentioned, like I really love that, the Roche Posay one, the one that's, I think it's for like super sensitive, broken skin.
Yeah.
I just put it everywhere. Everywhere.
What's your current fragrance of choice?
Oh, this is so funny. So I've started wearing this new perfume and I love it so much. And I feel like it's like my signature scent and I got really excited about it. And then we did the roadshow and I met 1,300 people. And
they all wear it?
Almost all of them asked me what it was. And I was like, shit, did I gatekeep this? No, because I'm not naturally a gatekeeper. But also, we're all going to be smelling the same. So I told everyone what it was. So it's called Guidance by Amouage. It is so stunning.
What's the
notes are, to me it smells quite rhubarby at the start, but I think it's very feminine and soft, but there's like a vanilla.
I bloody love vanilla.
I love vanilla, but there's so much depth to it. It's definitely got sandalwood in it. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it is like intoxicating and it follows people around, like to the point where people can smell me from like round the corner and they're like, I could smell you. So
which thankfully was a good thing.
There's no better thing than getting told you smell great, I think. So what I've decided is I'm not going to gatekeep, but when anyone ever sprays it, they'll think of me and that's really nice.
That's insane, a nice positive twist.
Yeah.
We're going to run out of time, but do you have a burning question for me?
Yes. Right, hold on.
Should I be scared?
No. Burning question. I'm actually going to use this for a bit of MPT.
Okay.
What, in your opinion, are the three most advanced ingredients, like the ingredients that are packing a punch right now for skin? And it can be renewal, or it can be hydration or comfort, barrier repair and things like that. I'd like to know three ingredients that have caught your eye that you think are...
To skin care or to put into makeup? But both.
Both, yeah, both.
Oh, God.
Somebody write this down.
Asking me an actual question. I would... Okay, so I'm a basic bitch. So glycerin.
Yeah.
Because you can't go wrong. It's really hard to have someone who's allergic to glycerin. It does exactly what you said and exactly what we love, which is just that layer of grease.
Hydration.
That isn't greasy.
Yeah.
I think hyaluronic acid and niacinamide have been done to death.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that there's way...
They've been done to death. I think it would be really interesting to make a makeup product for redness, anti-redness, that had azelaic acid in it.
Oh, nice.
You can have that
Can you overdose on azelaic acid?
No.
It's really gentle,
and it's safe for everyone. So even if you're prego...
Is it good for your body?
It doesn't do anything harmful. So you can just...
But it's like a gentle resurfacing, right? Because that's what acids do.
Yeah, and it's good for like pigmentation. So it's what a lot of derms would push pregnant people towards when they're not on retinoids.
Got it. I feel like this is worth like thousands of pounds. You tell me.
No problems, but you can have it for free.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And then I don't know. I suppose skincare wise, we are looking at things to help pigmentation big time next year.
Okay,
that's what I would say.
Is that quite a tricky area?
Well, it's expensive.
Okay.
Because you can either do it the generic way and just market it and say it's great for pigmentation, or you can do it properly and do clinical trials and it costs you a fortune.
Yeah.
I got quotes through for a clinical trial the other day, it was £80,000, and I'm like, okay, great, love that for me. Why did I go down this road? I know why I went down that road, but it still makes me go squeaky bum.
Yeah.
Because that I could spend £80,000 and it might not work, and then you've got to scrap it.
I know, that's the scary part.
Have you got down the road with a product, I'm totally interviewing you, but have you got down the road with a product that you love and it just didn't make it to market?
Technically, yes, but only because we had to take it away and fix it and then put it back.
Yeah.
Which, so
what
I
took
always
the longest? What have you had the most iterations of? Because we had cleansing balm, moisturiser. Absolute nightmare.
You hated it.
Well, the process.
Love it now, but
nightmare.
Found the process for mascara horrific.
I can imagine.
It's just soul crushing at
that
point.
It's everything. It's the vessel. It's the brush. It's the hole. It's everything.
And then it's when... your labs or manufacturers make a mistake themselves. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you guys, why are you guys making mistakes? I can make mistakes. I'm
been there, done that.
But I think as well, when anything like that happens, I'm always like that. It's fine.
So
what are we going to do instead?
What can you do?
And I think that's the beauty of having, a team that's flexible. We are quite agile still. You guys will be the exact same. So we make it work and we actually try and see it as an opportunity.
You have to, it's your mindset. There is absolutely no point. Like, we've had things where the lab have made mistakes and manufacturers have made mistakes. I love them. I love you.
Yeah, I know. And actually, I've loved mine too, just in case.
But there's the odd thing. And I think they're like nervous when they have to make the call. And I'm like, well, what can we do? I know it wasn't done out of malice.
Yeah.
It's out of our control.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stress about something I cannot control.
No.
That's the biggest waste of time.
Yeah, it is. And energy.
Why would you bother? Let's pivot.
Yeah.
Pivot! On that note, thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
I feel like all I did was just bombard you with questions.
I feel like all I did was talk at you.
That's what we want. It's a podcast, good. Babe. It's fine. Good. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
You can hear much more from our chat this Wednesday in our listeners' questions episode, so make sure you tune in. Send your questions for me and my guest to answer to pod@carolinehirons.com. Until then, I'm glad we had this chat. New episodes are available every Monday and Wednesday. Follow or subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Glad We Had This Chat is produced by Wall to Wall Media.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, Sponsored Jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.